Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan, the rejected enemy of mankind, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, openly acknowledging that Allah is the one God, there are absolutely no partners with Allah, and that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a servant and messenger of Allah. Greetings of peace to everyone, and Jumma Mubarak. As we always say, collectively, we're here prayerfully. We are all in ourselves collected here. That means collective and connected, our mind, body, and soul, as we say. So welcome to Jumma Mubarak. Blessedly, we wanted to have the prior previous aired Jumma says. It was aired last week, but we could not upload it from the Facebook page. So if you have a chance, you can always go back to it, inshallah. But we will proceed as we normally do with the hadith until we hear the presentation of, well, this particular Jumma being shared by the opening, the adhan, the first call of prayer, and then the everyone will go into making their two rakats, their personal prayers, and then we'll hear the second call, and then the imam will begin, inshallah. All right, so we will go directly to hadith as we normally do, because Imam Yahya Abdullah begins at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, coming out from Jacksonville, Florida. And next week, inshallah, he said that he will be in Alabama presenting, but he will still be presenting and acknowledging that AM360 is audience is listening. Thank you, dear listeners, for your understanding.
Hadith number 1.
عن أمير المؤمنين أبي حفص عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته لدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of the Commander of the Faithful, Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, deeds are only by intentions, and every man shall have only what he intended. So one whose hijrah, immigration, was to Allah and His Messenger, his hijrah was to Allah and His Messenger. But one whose hijrah was to achieve a worldly aim, or to a woman he would marry, then his hijrah was to that for which he immigrated. Narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 2.
عن عمر رضي الله عنه أيضا قال بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم إذ طلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد سواد الشعر لا يرى عليه أثر السفر ولا يعرفه منا أحد حتى جلس إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأسند ركبتيه إلى ركبتيه ووضع كفيه على فخذيه وقال يا محمد أخبرني عن الإسلام فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا قال صدقت فعجبنا له يسأله ويصدقه قال فأخبرني عن الإيمان قال أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره قال صدقت قال فأخبرني عن الإحسان قال أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. قال: فأخبرني عن الساعة. قال: ما المسؤول عنها بأعلم من السائل؟ قال: فأخبرني عن أماراتها. قال: أن تلد الأمة ربتها، وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاء يتطاولون في البنيان. ثم انطلق فلبست مليا، ثم قال: يا عمر، أتدري من السائل؟ قلت: الله ورسوله أعلم. قال: فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم دينكم. رواه مسلم.
Also on the authority of Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, one day while we were sitting with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man came over to us whose clothes were exceedingly white and whose hair was exceedingly black. No signs of travel were seen on him, but none of us knew him. He came and sat down opposite the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and rested his knees against his, placing the palms of his hands on his thighs. He said, O Muhammad, inform me about Islam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to testify that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, to establish prayer, to give zakah, to fast Ramadan, and to make the pilgrimage to the house if you are able to do so. He said, You have spoken the truth. And we wondered at his asking him and confirming it. He said, Then inform me about Iman. He said, It is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and the last day, and to believe in predestination, both the good and the evil thereof. He said, You have spoken the truth. He said, Then inform me about Ihsan. He said, It is to worship Allah as though you see Him. If you do not see Him, indeed He sees you. He said, Then inform me about the hour. He said, The one questioned about it knows no more than the questioner. He said, Then inform me of its signs. He said, That the slave woman will give birth to her mistress, and that you will see barefooted, naked, destitute shepherds competing in the loftiness of constructions. Then he departed, and I stayed for a time. Then he said, O Umar, do you know who the questioner was? I said, Allah and His Messenger are more knowing. He said, It was Gabriel. He came to you to teach you your religion. Narrated by Muslim. A few notes of Hadith number 3.
عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول بني الإسلام على خمس: شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله، وإقام الصلاة، وإيتاء الزكاة وحج البيت وصوم رمضان، رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of Abu Abd al-Rahman, Abdullah, the son of Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu anhuma, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, Islam has been built on five, testifying that there is no deity but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah. The establishment of prayer, giving zakah, making the pilgrimage to the house, and fasting Ramadan. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 4.
عن أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال حدثنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الصادق المصدوق إن أحدكم يجمع خلقه في بطن أمه 40 يوما نطفة ثم يكون علقة مثل ذلك ثم يكون مضغة مثل ذلك ثم يرسل إليه الملك فينفخ فيه الروح ويؤمر 4 كلمات بكتب رزقه وأجله وعمله وشقي أو سعيد فوالله الذي لا إله غيره إن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل الجنة حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل النار فيدخلها وإن أحدكم ليعمل بعمل أهل النار حتى ما يكون بينه وبينها إلا ذراع فيسبق عليه الكتاب فيعمل بعمل أهل الجنة فيدخلها رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of Abu Abd al-Rahman, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, رضي الله عنه, who said, The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is the truthful, the believed, narrated to us, Indeed, the creation of one of you is brought together in his mother's belly for 40 days, in the form of a zygote. Then he is a clinging clot for a like period. Then a morsel of flesh for a like period. Then there is sent to him the angel, who blows the human soul into him, and is commanded about 4 matters, to write down his provision, his lifespan, his actions, and whether he will be unhappy or happy. And by Allah, other than whom there is no deity, indeed, one of you does the deeds of the people of paradise, until there is not between him and it except an arm's length. But the decree overtakes him, so he does the deeds of the people of the fire and enters it. And indeed, one of you does the deeds of the people of the fire, until there is not between him and it except an arm's length. But the decree overtakes him, so he does the deeds of the people of paradise, and enters it. Narrated by Bukhari and Muslim. Hadith number 6.
عن أبي عبد الله النعمان بن بشير رضي الله عنهما قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الحلال بين وإن الحرام بين وبينهما أمور مشتبهات لا يعلمهن كثير من الناس فمن اتقى الشبهات فقد استبرأ لدينه وعرضه، ومن وقع في الشبهات وقع في الحرام، كالراعي يرعى حول الحمى يوشك أن يرتع فيه. ألا وإن لكل ملك حمى، ألا وإن حمى الله محارمه. ألا وإن في الجسد مضغة إذا صلحت صلح الجسد كله، وإذا فسدت فسد الجسد كله، ألا وهي القلب. رواه البخاري ومسلم.
On the authority of Abu Abdullah, An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, رضي الله عنهما, who said, I heard the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, say, The lawful is clear, and the unlawful is clear, and between the two of them are doubtful matters about which many people do not know. So he who avoids doubtful matters has sought to clear himself in regard to his religion and his honor. But he who falls into doubtful matters then falls into the unlawful, like the shepherd who pastures around a private area, all but grazing therein. Undoubtedly, every sovereign has private property, and indeed, the private property of Allah is his prohibited matters. Undoubtedly, within the body is a morsel of flesh, which, when it is good, the whole body is good. But when it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. Indeed, it is the heart. Narrated by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. حديث number 25.
عن أبي ذر رضي الله عنه أيضا أن ناسا من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قالوا للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا رسول الله ذهب أهل الدثور بالأجور يصلون كما نصلي ويصومون كما نصوم ويتصدقون بفضول أموالهم. قال أوليس قد جعل الله لكم ما تصدقون؟ إن لكم بكل تسبيحة صدقة وكل تكبيرة صدقة وكل تحميدة صدقة وكل تهليلة صدقة وأمر بالمعروف صدقة ونهي عن منكر صدقة وفي بضع أحدكم صدقة. قالوا يا رسول الله أيأتي أحدنا شهوته ويكون له فيها أجر؟ قال أرأيتم لو وضعها في حرام أكان عليه وزر؟ فكذلك إذا وضعها في الحلال كان له أجر. رواه مسلم.
Also on the authority of Abu Dhar, رضي الله عنه, some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, said to the Prophet, صلى الله عليه وسلم, O Messenger of Allah, the affluent have taken their rewards. They pray as we pray, they fast as we fast, and they give in charity the excess of their wealth. He said, Has not Allah made something for you to do in charity? Indeed, in each saying of Subhanallah is a charity, and each Allahu Akbar is a charity, and each Alhamdulillah is a charity, and each La ilaha illallah is a charity. And enjoining what is right is a charity, and prohibiting what is wrong is a charity. And in the sexual intercourse of one of you is a charity. They said, O Messenger of Allah, does one of us indulge in his desire and get for it a reward? He said, have you considered if he were to do it unlawfully, would he have for it a burden of sin? Similarly, when he does it lawfully, he will have for it a reward. Narrated by Muslim.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Kareem Hamid, and I shall conduct the second half of Share Your Jummah, this blessed day of Jummah. The Jummah will be a broadcast from Masjid Muhammad of Jacksonville, Florida. It begins at 12:30 Eastern Standard Time. And yes, praise be to Allah. And the Khatib is our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah. So may we all have a blessed Jummah. It shall begin in a few moments, inshallah. We got about 1 minute, according to the studio clock, about 1 minute. Imam Yahya's page is saying, waiting for Yahya Abdullah. Yep, February 2nd. All right, here we go. That's what I'm going to say.
الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise belongs to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, keeper, sustainer of all the systems of knowledge. We seek his help. We ask for his forgiveness. We put our faith and our trust in him. Mighty and sublime is he. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, the one and only, there is none like unto him. And I have witnessed that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to whom the Quran was revealed 1,445 years ago, is Allah's servant, messenger, prophet to all of mankind. We ask Allah's peace, his blessings, his highest exaltations be upon Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon his family, his companions, the righteous all. On you, O Muslims, be peace. Assalamu alaykum. That is, may the greetings that only Almighty God, Allah, can give you be upon you. We'd like to welcome our Jummah live audience on American Muslim 360. We are broadcasting for us today, and we'll be broadcasting, inshallah, God willing, the entire month, this month, February, African American History Month, by the way. So Sister Martha, Naila, Executive Director of CWSC and American Muslim 360. Thank you for honoring us this month by broadcasting on the largest Muslim online radio program and show, and they've had this record for a long time, American Muslim 360. Those of you all joining us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Facebook is now known as Meta, and StreamYard, welcome to Al Islam Worldwide Ministry, our live broadcast of our Jummah prayer, Friday prayer for Masjid Muhammad here in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. The weather is lovely, sunshine, hardly any clouds in the sky, beautiful weather for this time of year. So if you're a northerner and you're looking for a place to move and relocate where it's good weather and a good climate, we invite you to come to the River City. That's the nickname of Jacksonville, Florida. To our national community, assalamu alaikum, our international community, family and friends in Bermuda, Imam Muhammad Abdullah, Birmingham Islamic Center in Birmingham, Alabama. As always, Junaina Abdullah, welcome. Anwar Sultan from Hawaii, my brother, welcome. Mujahid Amina Abdullah, as always, in Okinawa, Japan. To our Christian friends, family members, co-workers, peace be with you. Our Jewish friends, we say to you, shalom. Our silent prayers today will be for, and the numbers keep increasing. This is very sad. This needs to be resolved. Now, we encourage, because there are efforts being made to resolve this conflict in Gaza. 27,000 Palestinians lost their lives already. Most of them, many of them, women and children, 1,500 Israelis. And also today we want to have silent prayer for the three soldiers that were killed, the United States soldiers killed in Jordan, and two of them are from this surrounding area. So let us have a moment of silent prayer. Ameen. God, Allah, rest their souls, and peace bring comfort and ease and relief as much as possible to their families, friends, and loved ones. Now, I have one person who actually, we have a number of international viewers, but this is a new person, our brother, Brother Ahmed B-E-H-Z-A-D, Behzad. Brother Ahmed Behzad, he sent us a message. Siddiqui, Brother Ahmed Behzad from Siddiqui. Siddiqui from Afghanistan, not from Siddiqui, Brother Ahmed Behzad. Siddiqui from Afghanistan. Welcome, our brother, and thank you for joining us last week at Islam Worldwide Ministry. As I mentioned to you last week, we will continue and conclude today the second part of our subject from last week, or topic from last week. The believers are guaranteed success. The believers, the faithful, are guaranteed success. And those of you all who are joining us for the first time this week, you didn't get part one. You can scroll down if you're on Facebook or YouTube, and you can find part one. And we gave definitions from the dictionary for Aflaha and also Al-Fawza. We read from chapter 23, verse 1, from chapter 9, verse 72. That was last week. So today, we're going to begin reading from the chapter title, Surah Al-Nur, or Surah An-Nur, the chapter of enlightenment or the light. That's chapter 24, and we begin reading verse 51, and we will read from 51 to 54. The believers are guaranteed success. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Innama kana al-mu'minina idha du'u ila Allahi wa rasulihi liyahkuma baynahum an yaqulu sami'na wa ata'na wa ulaika humul muflihun. Sadaqallahu al-azim. God the Mighty spoke the truth as revelation to Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon our Prophet. The answer of the believers when they are called or invited, summoned, إِذَا دُعُوا, you hear du'a, da'wa, when they are called, invited or summoned to Allah, to God, that and his messenger, to God and his messenger, in order that he may judge between them, is no other than this. They say, Sami'na wa ata'na. We hear and we obey. We listen and we are obedient. It is these that have this attitude of listening and obeying what they're listening to, hearing, reading. It is these, such as these, that will be successful. They will be the ones who will prosper. They will be the ones to attain success. So what I want you to pick up from this, and you should pick up from this early on, because all of the verses are going to coincide with this theme, is the idea of success associated with, connected to, and tied to obedience. Obedience. Okay? Verse 52. وَمَنْ يُؤْتِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَخْشَ اللَّهَ وَيَتَّقْهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. It is such that obey as obey God, Allah, and his messenger. And for us as Muslims, it's Muhammad the Prophet, as the last prophet. Not just the last messenger, but last prophet. It is such as obey Allah and his messenger, and they are yaksha Allah. And why am I putting out that word? Y-A-K-H-A-S-H-A. Yaksha Allah. So this is not taqwa. This is being a respectful kind of fear. But in English, it just says fear. See? But the Arabic, وَيَخْشَ اللَّهُ, and they have a respectful kind of fear of God, and they do what is right, they will win, they will achieve, they will accomplish. Now, if you were, those of you all who were on with us last week, or those of you all who were here today that was with us last week, the two words that we discussed from different chapters, 23 and 1, after the half, and chapter 9 and 72, Al-Fawzah, both of these words are used in this chapter together. 51, Faraha, Al-Muflihun, those who are achieving success. And I share with you that that means to till the earth, to be successful, prosperity, safety, something you really have to put your muscles in to make happen. Yeah? That's Al-Muflihun, Al-Muflihun. Those who put their effort, they exert themselves, all right? Al-Fa'izun, the one that's in verse 52, it is success too, but it's a success more so in the soul. Yeah, you feel the success in the soul. See, a lot of people in this world that by all standards of this world are successful. By the standards of this world. And most of the standards of this world, dunya, measure success only by material. Now that's definitely a part of it. In fact, that's the first part of it, the earth, because that's where Adam was put, in the garden, the earth, and told till that soil. See, to work the soil. So now you can achieve that, as we know, many people. But if you don't have, and this is Christ Jesus saying that what profits a man or a woman or a person that you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul. You don't have the sadism. You understand? So you're not successful there. It is such as obey Allah and His messenger and fear God and do right that will win in the end. Now, those of you all that are on our line, on the Juma conference line, can you please put your phones on mute? We can hear your feedback coming through on our phone line now. We don't want to have to just discontinue that broadcast. So be so kind and put your phone on mute. Thank you very much. That was on the Juma conference line. That's on that phone line. Verse 53. Well, Akasemu bin Lahi, don't forget the subject. The believers are guaranteed success, and the success that we're talking about today from the Quran is tied to, associated with obedience to God. Verse 53. وَأَقَسَمُوا بِاللَّهِ جَهْدَ أَيْمَانِهِمْ لَإِنْ أَمَرْتَهُمْ لَيَخْرُجُنَّ قُلْ لَا تُقْسِمُوا طَاعَةٌ مَعْرُوفَةٌ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. They swear their strongest oaths by Allah that only if God would command them, God is revealed to the Prophet, they would leave their homes. And Allah said to the Prophet, revealed to him, Kul, say, swear not. We don't need to swear and make and take an oath. That's not necessary. Don't go overboard. So look at this. Swear not. Obedience is more appropriate. We don't need your oaths. That's what God is in the Prophet. Tell them, I don't really need your oaths. Just be obedient. Do what you're supposed to do. Obedience is more appropriate. Really, Allah is very well acquainted with everything that you do anyway. So you don't need to make these outlandish oaths and swear to God. He already knows what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Verse 54, قُلْ سَيْلَ Muhammad tell them, أَبْحِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَكِيُوا رَسُولَهَ فَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنَّمَا عَلَيْهِ مَا أُمِّلَ وَعَلَيْكُمْ مَا أُمِلْتُمْ وَإِنْ تُتِيعُوهُ تَعْتَدُوا وَمَا عَلَى الرَّسُولِ إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينَ. Say, obey Allah. This is Kevin. Those of us who, we're Muslims, Christians, Jews, whatever you follow, your religion, obey God and obey the messenger. But if you turn away, he's only responsible. What? The messenger is only responsible for the duty placed on him. And what's that duty? It's right here, no guesswork. And you are responsible for the duty and responsibilities placed on you. If you obey him, God says, now dear Muslims around the Muslim world, I'm speaking to some of you now, and it's particularly so in our community here, in the United States of America now, but most of them around the world, and you'll see what I'm alluding to here in a second, but I want to finish the verse. If you obey him, you shall be on right guidance, the prophet, the messenger. The messenger's duty, now here's his job explained by God. God is telling him what his job is. He's not leaving it up to the people to tell the prophet what his job is. God tells him, say, your job, Muhammad, وَمَا إلا البلاغ المبين. I have charged you, Muhammad, and the prophets, and the messengers. Your job, your duty is to make the message reach the people as clear and plain as possible. That's his job. And those of us living in the 21st century and behind us, but those of us who are present now, we can say, yes, Muhammad the prophet delivered the word of God plain, clear to mankind. And in his last lecture, the last khutbah that the prophet gave, he asked the people who were assembled, he said, have I not given you the plain message? And he didn't wait for them to respond. He said, well, kafa billahi shaheed. He told them. He said, sufficient enough is God as a witness that I have done my job. Yes. Now, dear Muslims, there's a misunderstanding in the Muslim world. And it has, unfortunately, I think a lot of it affected all of us, but it has made its way to the United States of America. And it has infiltrated, I'm talking of an idea now, I'm talking about people, but people brought the idea. It has infiltrated our community in some aspects, but I said, thank Allah, it's not pervasive, okay? But it exists, and here's the idea. And Allah addresses in the Quran. Say, obey Allah, and that's wow, a conjunction. Walk. And so whatever precedes this walk, The wah. Whatever follows the wah, just like two hands on arms on the same body. Whatever precedes it, the wah of conjunction. Whatever follows the wah of conjunction goes together. It goes together. That's why it's called conjunction, to join things, to bring it together. Okay, to bring it together. So you can't do one part of it and ignore the other part. You can't say all we need is Allah and that's it. Oh, sisters, you're making a mistake. I choose not to respond to your mistakes that you put up because we know we all make mistakes. So I said at some point Allah will bless me to address this for all of us. Not just that. You can't say it's enough only to just have the Quran. That's it. All we need is the Quran. Really? Well, let's read it again. Oh, but God says in the Quran, chapter 24, verse 54, say, obey Allah and obey the messenger. Both. Now, how do we obey the messenger? We're here for Friday prayer. This is an example I'm giving. Okay. There's a chapter in the Quran, we've shared it before, and I'm speaking to the Muslim world and our community around the United States of America, and you all listen on American Muslim 360. There's a chapter in the Quran titled Al-Jum'ah, the Friday prayer, which we're performing here, and Muslims perform all over the world. How do we conduct the Friday prayer? The chapter of the Friday prayer doesn't tell us how to conduct the Friday prayer. So you can go to chapter 62, chapter of Jumu'ah. It's only a few ayahs, only a few verses there, maybe 10 or 12. And there's not one, the only thing it says is when the call of the prayer is given, come to the prayer. And when you finish your salat, go back out into the world and seek the bounties of God in the material world. It tells us that in general. But how to conduct it? What do we do? Say how many rakahs? How is the foot our section? How is it organized? How do we pray? What happens if we come in late and miss the football lecture and the prayer? What do we do? You can't find that in the Quran. It's not there. And oh, by the way, beautiful adhan called by Michael. Beautiful adhan, that's the call to prayer for those of you all online. And I know we have non-Muslims listening to us, so I have to remind myself when I say things in Arabic, I have to be clear. Because I go back sometimes, I listen to the lectures with my, to hear from mistakes, I'm human, and to hear what I could do better. And I'm listening, I'm like, oh, I said some Arabic terms, but I didn't explain it. People out there don't understand what I'm saying. So if I said mu'ezzin, the Muslims understand that. The non-Muslims don't know what I'm talking about. Dear non-Muslims, it means to call it to prayer. The beautiful call that you heard from Michael and the beautiful call from Ron, that is the call to prayer, and it is called adhan, the call to prayer. The person making it is called the mu'adhan, the call. All right? So I'm clear. You can't find adhan in the Quran. It's not there. So where do we go? To Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have to have the seerahs, the history, the life of the Prophet. The Prophet had a life. He lived for 63 years. And it's documented life. Mother, father, grandfather, uncle, work, merchant, job, wives, companions, by name, by date, by city, by places. He had a history. And it's in a compilation called the Sirah, the history of the life of the Prophet, all the books written by the Prophet. And much of it is also can be found in the Hadiths. So you Hadith deniers that deny all of the Hadiths, you're making a big mistake because God says obey God and the messenger. It's not enough for us as Muslims in the United States of America to say all we need is the Quran. Well, I just gave you just a couple of examples. I can go on and on for the rest of this month and show you in our religion that if we don't have Muhammad the Prophet, we don't. Old saying, I don't know if it's a scriptural saying, people that live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Okay? They're real fragile glass houses in America. However, when you see in the Muslim world certain behaviors, certain things taking place in the Muslim world, don't judge al-Islam by that. Don't judge the religion by that. Or in the United States of America. Don't judge the religion by the behavior of the people. Because if we did the same thing, if we made judgments on Christianity and Judaism by the behavior of the people that say they're Christians and say they follow Judaism, well, now, it's going to be a problem. The people don't tend sometimes to live up. They're human beings. They don't live up to their religion and what they say. I heard a popular, in the popular culture, I won't say who, and I won't say if it's a male or female, but I heard the person say they were a Christian. And I said, really? And that's all I'm going to say. The behavior, they would have been better off not even saying they were crazy. I can't tell them what to do. I'm just saying the behavior is so far away from what I know about Christianity and the good Christians and the good Jews. It's so far away that it's really embarrassing to say that. And we have a Muslim, so I'm going to shine a light on our side too. We have Muslim, new Muslim, very popular, online, listen to me carefully. Do you think, if you study the history, you know this is the case now, don't forget the subject, believers are guaranteed success. When Muhammad the prophet, prayers and peace be upon the prophet, when he started his work and his mission early on, do you think that all of those people, the Arabs of his day that was listening to him, all of them changed their behavior overnight and became the best examples of Muslims? You think that happened? No, it didn't. Took time, generations for them to change their behavior because they had been Jahiliyyah for so long. And the behavior was so bad on one occasion, Muhammad the prophet, this is in the Sirah, this is in the history of life of the prophet, he was having a discussion with his uncle, one of his uncles. May Allah forgive him and grant paradise. And the uncle still had the bad habit of intoxication. So he was intoxicated. And he said some rude words to the prophet Muhammad. And the report says the prophet face just turned red with anger. And he walked off. He didn't tell them to be him. No. He just said he will correct his behavior in time. So I said this to one of my friends that spoke to that person. I said, you did right. Well, this quote, tell him it's not good to be out in the public saying I'm a Muslim. And you got a big old, and it wasn't for medical reasons. And you're influencing and making the people think that it's okay, and it's not, to be a Muslim and rolling weed and dope and bragging about it and showing it off. Unacceptable in our Islam. That's not us. It's not us. But we pray for our brother. And we pray to Allah guide him and strengthen him and help him realize that this is not correct behavior. Okay? All right. So obey God for success. The success tied to obedience. Wati'ullah, wati'ur-rasul. Obey God and the messenger. It's not sufficient enough for Muslims to just have the Quran. We also must have the life of the prophet. See how he implemented the Quran, how he applied the Quran, how he lived the Quran. Okay? And yes, I know. I'm one of the first ones to tell you this because I read them all by Allah's grace. The hadiths, many of them should just be tossed in the garbage. Now, I'm just being honest with you. And actually, the Imam Bukhari did exactly that when he was going to Ramadan. He had more than 600,000. He threw the majority of them away. When I say talk, he just didn't pay them any attention. I think he kept maybe around 2,400. And even those are duplicated, just kind of repeating itself. So if you strip down or take that into account that some of them are repetitive, it might be maybe 500-600 of them. And recently I heard the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, and I commend him for this, MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, he said there are only maybe a few hundred of these hadiths that we have legitimate isnad, chains of authority that we can verify and that has Quranic support for them. So he said in Saudi Arabia. I said, Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wa salatu wa salam ala Rasul al-Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ayyuhal muslimun. Again, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, may his peace and his blessings be upon his noble and generous messenger Muhammad the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'da, and what follows thereafter. Again, their Muslims and their friends, Christian friends and Jewish friends and others that are joining us on Meta, that's Facebook, StreamYard, YouTube. Greetings to our community on American Muslim 360 for honoring us to be live broadcasting on the largest online internet radio program in our community. And also, Michael, you are a host on American Muslim 360, our brother here, my dear friend Michael Hameen. But I had a long conversation with Sister Martha early part of the week, and she's broadcasting live. She's broadcasting live. So assalamu alaikum, Sister Martha, and to all of you all on American Muslim 360, to all of our listeners around the country, and some listeners outside, I understand, outside the United States, and to our Jumu'ah conference line. Greetings to all of you. Assalamu alaikum. Now, following the tradition, as always, of our Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, we switch the picture, the focus on community issues. And the no bigger issue for us as Muslims in America and in many parts of the world than economics, finance, business. And Muhammad the Prophet was a businessman. Don't forget that. We have wonderful news shared with us by the chairman of the Federal Reserve, the Honorable Jerome Powell. I believe it was Wednesday. And he expressed to the nation and the world. Now, the world ain't happy to hear this now. I don't know, you know, America is still the leading economic power on earth. So when we're doing good in America, the world is happy. So Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, he said the United States economy is good. And it was so good, he was doing everything, and all of the pundits and the commentators, they were commenting on how he had to restrain himself. He was so excited. They can't give away a lot. Everybody hinges on their word. Like, if he moved his arm a certain way, the fan moved his right arm. Instead of that, that's a cherry, right? So he was so excited about the economy of the United States of America. He said, look, the fact of the matter is the United States economy is good and it's strong. So he decided, this is important for business people, homeowners too now, if you're purchasing anything and you're financing it, he's holding the rate steady at 5.3, he hadn't increased them. Says inflation is coming down, consumer sentiments are up. That means the people are upbeat. They're feeling pretty good about the economy. And today, the job market just blew the top, the roof off the top, as they say, metaphorically speaking. 353,000 jobs added in the United States of America added in the month of January. So that ticks down slightly the unemployment rate to about 3.7. That's practically full employment in the United States. But what about the hood? The people ain't got no jobs. That's because you won't go get educated and get you a job. Don't blame anything on me. Yeah, you got to take some responsibility. I read to you in the first part, the prophet said, what? God told him, you have a duty, Muhammad, and the people have a duty, responsibility. Okay? So now I'm going to give you, from the Quran, this same chapter, this verse that connects with economics and the guaranteed success of the believers. And I'm going to give you examples and we'll pray. And this is verse 55 from the Quran. وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم في الأرض. Okay, so I'm going to translate that part because if I read it, this is a not lengthy verse, but I need to explain this as I go along the parts of it, okay? Allah has promised, remember from last week, God makes a promise. Wa'ad Allah. And God promises truth. God has promised to those among you all who have faith, believe. Now, this is God's promise, not Muhammad the prophet. Not Imam Yahya. You believe in God. This is what God has promised. believe, Muslims, Christians, Jews, Mormons, whoever believes, God has promised you, if you believe and you do good works, that's all you have, then he, God, let yestakli fennehum fil ardi, that he will certainly grant you in the land, in the land. And I'm saying it three times. It doesn't say it three times in the Quran. I'm saying it three times for emphasis. Fil ardi, in the land, not in the sky, on earth, in the land. God says, if you believe in me, have faith, do good works. No doubt it. I will of a surety grant you in the land inheritance. Now they put in parentheses. So be careful. Of power. That's not an Arabic. No way. Huwa, power. That's not power. That's not it. So that's a translation in parentheses. But I understand that they're trying to say, you'll become established. That's what they say. You'll have some power, some influence. Well, that's true. And the word layastakhli fennahum fil ardi is from the word khalifa. You should hear khalifa, manager, controller, authority, ruler, khalifa. So God said, I'm going to make you influential, give you some establishment. You're going to inherit in the earth. الَّذِينَ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ As he has granted it to those who came before them, those behind us, وَلَا يُمَكِّنَّنَا لَهُمْ دِينَهُمْ دِينَهُمُ الَّذِي تَرْضَى لَهُمْ Those that came before us, behind us, that God will establish in authority, yes, their religion, the one which he prefers for them. Now, notice how I phrase that. The one he has preferred. You can choose whatever you like. You can believe in whatever faith you like. But there's a preference that God has for mankind. Mentioned in chapter 5, verse 3, 2. And that preference is the religion, if you say, of the universe. Now, I don't know about you, but I would love to have the religion of the universe. The universal order of things. This religion of Al-Islam is consistent with creation and universal laws. That's what it said. So God said, I prefer that to you. Now, if you have a preference for something else, I'm not going to be upset with you. I'm just telling you this is the one I prefer. The one that he prefers, Al-Islam, that he prefers for all of you, for all people, and that he will change And that he will change your situation and your circumstances from one of fear and uneasiness, one of frustration, that God will take away from you your misery. He will change your fears and your misery and your frustration and your disappointment, and he will turn it into security. He will take the fear off of you in which you used to live. Now, the learned scholars, they say this relates to specifically the battle of Al-Khandaq, the battle of the trenches, the battle of the ditches. But in general principles, it's addressing fear that people have, paranoias. That God will change the fear in which you used to live to one of security and peace. Ya'budunani لا يشركون بي شيئا. They will worship me alone. And God rebukes them and prophet. Worship me alone? Yeah, they won't be idol worshipers. They're not going to worship themselves. They won't worship man. They won't worship anything but God. وَمَنْ كَفْرَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. And they will not associate anything with me. But, or however, if any do reject faith, after this, Muhammad, that I reveal to you, they are nothing but rebellious and wicked. God the Mighty spoke the truth. Now let's go back to the top of this, the promise that God made. To those who have faith and do good works, that they will inherit the land, become established in the material world. That's what it's saying with clarity. Become established in the material land and become a powerful force of influence of economic power. I want to introduce you to an economic giant. That's the Muslim, if you don't know him. And I know the Muslims in Africa, they should know him. This is Al-Haji. And I think Rahim might have it up. Al-Haji. That is African American History Month. So I'm sharing with you Africa and then America. Okay. I didn't say black history. I don't know what that is. I don't, not really. Don't. What is it? I know what y'all are trying to make it. But it has no connection. I've shared it with you many times. It has no connection with any country. Any continent, any country at all. Black, what's that? You know it. The Polish people have Polish issues. The German people have German issues. The Mexican people have Mexican issues. The black people have... Now they don't want us to know this brother. Al-Haji Aliko Muhammad Dangote. Now this is his book, Sean. The biography of the richest, this is their language, not mine. This is the biography of the richest black person in the world. And he's Muslim. Oh, wait a minute, I thought all the Africans were poor. But rather say, you've been hoodwinked and bamboozled. This is from Frontline News. Now, you're not going to see this on CNN. That's American History Month now. Give you this. I have one from America, but this is Africa, our brother. You're not going to see it. I haven't. So I can't say you won't. But let me just say this. I haven't seen this. CNN, MSNBC, Fox, CBS, CBS, ABC, NBC, Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Florida Times Union, New York Times, Al-Haj, Alito Mohammed Dangote, Nigerian businessman and philanthropist, who is the founder and CEO of the Dangote Group conglomerate, worth more than 12 to 50, his company, $12 to $15 billion with a B. So the wealthiest, after Revolution, the wealthiest, according to this, African or black person, they say, on earth today is a follower of Muhammad the Prophet. You remember what I told you last week? That Islam was a prosperity religion? Rahim President Bola Tinubu of Senegal, he goes there quite a bit, West Africa. Now, brother, he is from Nigeria. He just recently, like a day or so ago, President Bola Tinubu of Senegal, Muslim country, mainly West Africa, conferred on Al-Haji Aliko Mohammed Dangote, Senegal's highest National Order of the Lion. He just received this award from the President of Senegal for Solidarity. Remember what I just read to you, sir? From chapter 24, verse 55. Allah promised this, that if you have faith and you do good works, he is going to make you a major player in the material. And since this is African American History Month, I wanted to share that with you. Okay? Now that's Africa. And he's a member of the Hausa. You got that in mind, right? That's our inside joke. You know why I said that. Now let's come to America and we'll pray. African American History Month. Okay. Now they're saying, and when I saw this, I said, well, I don't know now. We want to revisit this. Because we were told, and it's a good thing, you know, there's nothing bad I'm saying now, that the wealthiest African American male in the United States of America is our brother Robert F. Smith, the one that paid off all of the loans for the students at Mohawks, okay, over 400. Well, I don't know. My brother Robert got some righteous competition. The Allen Media Group, Byron Allen, African-American, makes $14.3 billion, with a B, off of Paramount Global. That includes Warner Brothers, CBS, all of them. The African-American brother in America, Hagar's Child. And he just makes the reason. This is right on time for African-American History Month. Yeah. They're going to teach this in school. We're going to tell our children about this. You think they're going to teach them about Adoki Mohammed Dangote? That's why I say we can't depend on other folks to give us our history. They are not going to tell us about it. They want us to keep believing that we don't achieve, we got this, we can't do that, we poor, we broke, that up, that up, that up. Well, how do you explain $12.5 to $15 billion from one, the richest black man on earth, they say, and he has some competition now with Brother Allen now. Byron Allen, and I pray Allah bless him to make the deal, but he just made an offer. $14.3 billion. I want to buy the whole thing. That's Allah's promise to Muhammad the Prophet. You keep your faith in God and you do good works. You might not see it all happening, it's okay. Just keep going. And you know what? You hear me say this often. It is true. You might not even see it in your lifetime.
That's right.
It might not even come to you. But there's a child out on the road. There's a grandchild out there. There's a great grand. There's a niece. Somebody is going to see it and somebody's going to realize it. Because I'm sure that those who are behind our brother Byron Allen, in the past, didn't see 14.4. Mamie and Miss Susie and Miss Bertha and all of them didn't see this, but they took that prayer out there. God had already promised it to Muhammad the Prophet. Our Lord, grant us the best that this life and this world has to offer us, and grant us the best that the next life and the next world has to offer us, and save us from the punishment of the fires of sins. And O Allah, out of your mercy, please reduce and eliminate this gun violence in these United States of America. And O Allah, please bring peace to the Palestinians soon. Ameen. We promise to God.
Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي الصلاة حي الصلاة حي الصلاة حي الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله تو make sure your lines are straight toe shoulder yeah make sure your lines are straight Assalamualaikum. Now, those of you all who are joining us online on the East Coast in the Central Time Zone, you can join us for Salah And those of you all on the West Coast, the Western time zone, Pacific time, if you like, you can pray with us, as some of you do. Just be aware, as you are, I'm sure you're aware of it, that when it's the proper time for your salat, you have to make your prayers at the appropriate time. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح فرأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. قل هو الله أحد الله صمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. تقبل الله. May Allah accept our prayers. next week we will have our guest imam, Rashad Mujahid, from Masjid An-Nahl in Tallahassee, Florida. I will be in, inshallah, Montgomery, Alabama. A weekend program, Imam Mikhail Sabri in the community there. So those of you all in the surrounding areas of Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, join us next week, weekend of activities in Montgomery, Alabama. Those of you all online on Meta, Facebook, that's an hour behind. So I'll be on after Imam Mujahid finish here, Rashad, finish here in Jacksonville. We'll be calling because we're an hour behind. Alabama's an hour behind. Now, this coming Sunday, we will have the community planning meeting right after 12:30 or shortly thereafter 12:30. We come here for Salat Zohar, and then we will have our planning meeting to lay out our plans, inshallah, for the year 2024. So we invite all of you all, if you'd like, to come and participate. I want to thank the community in Albany, Georgia, Imam Salahuddin Hanif and the community there. I forgot last week. I was with them a couple of weeks ago up in Albany, Georgia. Good program, good event there, appreciation award there. Thank you all for the award that you gave me while I was there. So community is moving. Community is doing well. A lot of progress that we're making, and we can do more. Those of you all who are here, please make your contributions at the back. Put your name on that pad if you would like to. Those of you all online, we appreciate you all. Go to our website, support our work and our efforts here, which is global, global in scope, as you know, the Alexander Worldwide Ministry. We thank both of you all who support us on a regular basis, support our ministry. Our website is up. I see it online, www.alislamworldwideministry.com. You can go online, donate online. We're living in a digital age. You're participating with us on Friday prayer. You make your donations online. You get blessed just as if you were donating to Masjid. You have a Friday Jumu'ah with us, so you make your contributions online. If you prefer to mail your contribution in, the address is online for those of you all who are on Facebook and YouTube. Those of you all listening on American Muslim 360 and our Jumu'ah conference line, you can mail your contribution to Al-Islam Worldwide Ministry, P.O. Box 3204, Jacksonville, Florida, 32206. And we thank you. We appreciate you. May Allah continue to bless all of you. We appreciate your support. Thanks for being a part of our Friday prayer, for joining us. May Allah bless all of you. Our Christian friends, peace be with you. Our Jewish friends, shalom. And to all of the Muslims, assalamu alaikum. Join us next week, inshallah, same time, 12:30 p.m. Our guest imam, Masjid Muhammad, will be my dear friend, childhood friend, the imam in Taif, the imam Rashad Mujahid, 12:30. Then after him, we'll be broadcasting live on Facebook only, because I'll be in Montgomery, Alabama. So we'll be broadcasting the Jumu'ah live from Montgomery, Alabama. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah. Praise be due to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful for sharing the Jumu'ah here on American Muslim 360. Alhamdulillah, all the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. And we're grateful for our beloved Imam Yahya Abdullah and all of the other imams that volunteered to share their Jumu'ah with us by the AM 360 airways. Praise be to Allah. We thank Almighty God for them. Alhamdulillah. I trust that everyone shall have a blessed Jumu'ah. Jumu'ah Mubarak to you, and assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. I am Kareem Hamid, radio station manager for American Muslim 360, and we shall transition now to the segment of the broadcast entitled Commentary of W.D. Muhammad. First, let me share with you some important public service announcements. Then we shall move forward with the commentary of Imam W.D. Muhammad. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book? Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
And we are back, praise be to Allah. I look forward to the community developmental stages. I shall be there, Martha, inshallah. Praise be to Allah. Now we shall share with you the commentary of our beloved Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. And the address that we want to share with you is a very important address. Yes, okay, let me cue it up. Yes, the address that we would like to share with you is entitled, Everything That Exists. Everything that exists has a message for man's mind. Very profound subject. Let's hear from our beloved Imam Waruthuddin Muhammad Rahim Allah Alayhi. May we all benefit from hearing these wonderful addresses and lectures.
We'd like to say to you, and we'd like to submit to the nation, the voice of the human soul. Today, speaking from Homewood, Illinois, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Praise be to Allah. Praise be to God, that's it, that is. Thank you. Well, we, as always, we are very pleased to be here for this occasion. The radio broadcast on the first Sunday of each month, and we are happy, very happy, to see the many of you who are here from various cities, towns around the United, in these United States. We're very pleased to see you always. We thank God for our presence, and we ask Him to guide our mind and to guide our tongue so that we please what He has created us for, the calling that He has extended to us, the Creator of all things. I have to put my glasses on here. I forgot to do that. When we look at the world with the eyes of the struggling person, struggling with their life or with his or her life, struggling with life, we respond to what we are looking at. And most often, we are looking at the world all about, all around us, all about us, of man-made things. And many times, man-made things in the environment brings us happiness, joy, lifts our spirit. But sometimes, man-made things do just the reverse. Make us feel depressed. Make us feel lonesome. Especially those persons who have what I call a free spirit. A free spirit. Persons who have a free spirit not a free spirit for disobeying intelligence or a free spirit for disobeying moral decency. Have a free spirit for just exploring the world of wonderful things and getting soul and spirit satisfaction. That's the free spirit I'm talking about. From persons of that free spirit, the world can be the world of mankind, of man, can be very depressing. too cluttered. The spirit, free spirit, it flies high, it flies far, it needs space. And sometimes man's world is just too crowded, too cluttered, too confining for that spirit that God created the human being to have. You know, life, another way of saying life is existence. Existence. Existence covers not only the living things now, it also covers off non-living things. And existence itself for human life has what is needed in it to bring human life to move and get on the path to its success. Just the life itself, the existence itself has that. But if that life is influenced by and attracted by things small, and the intelligence hasn't been turned on to things big, then the life, the consequences will be that the life will be satisfied to live on small things and grow small. And life is conditioning, you know, conditioning. And when a fighter has to go in the ring, a boxer, like Muhammad Ali, the greatest one who stepped into the ring, the greatest of all fighters who stepped into a ring, that fighter has to condition himself. He conditioned himself to win. If he fails to condition himself, he may lose. And most likely he will lose if he fails to condition himself. Everything has to be conditioned. Everything that exists has to be conditioned. If it's not conditioned, it will not last. And it takes effort to condition life for its success. And I mentioned existence in itself being enough to move life forward. What is that existence? When you know, when you look at a rock and you don't see enough anything happening, it just seems to be permanently fixed where it is. It shows no life, no growth, no movement. And then you think about yourself. You should feel blessed that you are not a stone. Yes. And when you look at those living things that attract our attention and impart sometimes great messages, holding knowledge to our minds, the lion, the elephant, the other beautiful creatures roaming the earth, attractive creatures roaming the earth. But when you think on the smallest and the biggest, and then you think on yourself, you should feel blessed. Because you don't have to be deprived of freedom to enlarge upon your existence and to expand upon your existence and to project your existence into bigger and better pictures of life. Whereas those things that are held in the mold of nature, of their behavior that's given to them by nature, and their freedom that's given to them by nature, they are held in that mold. And you are now, you are able to come from off your knees, not literally, off of your life of being no higher and no more productive and no more free than the animals that are walking on fours. You're able to rise up from that position on the totem pole of life and come into the freedom of your human form. Come into the productivity of your human form. Come into the visions of your human form. And outstretch everything existing on the planet Earth. This is a wonderful creation, the human creation. And that's what you need to turn life on for you, so that no matter what you face, or no matter what you're confronted with from the natural world or man's world, it won't set you back. That is, not in your hopes, not in your dreams, not in your vision, not in your determination to achieve better. I'm not giving you anything that is already given, even before man is made. Life is hunger. Hunger drives life. Feeding hungers makes life grow bigger. The bigger the life, the bigger the invitation to life. Life invites bigger appetites. Life grows and hunger grows. On the ground, life grows bigger and life multiplies. Many varieties of life eventually are present to look at. The ground grows to be beautiful and rich. Life on the move is working like a timepiece. To know if a timepiece is working, look to see if the timepiece is doing what it is known for doing. The hands are going from big to little, from little to big. The timepiece is working. To know if the human life is working, look to see if life is doing what life is known for doing over the long road of human history. The hands of life are going from big grown-ups to little children. From those children growing up, back to the old other grown-ups. The hands reaching out from the present for the future. The timepiece is working. The grown-ups stretching their hands out to the children. Their children, in return, stretch their hands out to the grown-ups. Life is working. The ground floor spreads more to serve mouths, hungry mouths, more than a meal for the flesh, to serve what is needed for the whole of life. Life needs food. Life needs a food source and an address to call my spread. Yes. Life needs a clothing source, a housing source, a promising job, a money source. Such as this, every form of life was formed to afford. Spreading sands, terrains brings hard times, like the deserts of Africa and other places. Deserts that once flourished, but by natural causes, we say, they became deserts. However, were the preceding generations kind-hearted or kind-natured, and were moved toward the future to be attentive to future needs, they would have fed the land in return. They would have fed the land that fed them. That is the ground from which they were getting their food. They would have fed the land, given back to the land, so there would be a better future for their children. When the old have passed on their usefulness and are resting in peace.
Yes, sir.
Hear what the bigger world, the world bigger than man, or the world that man did not make. Hear what it has to say. Natural phenomena, picture talks. The sky view, the clouds, the night view, the returning day, the positions of moon, the position of sun, the sun, the lower position of moon, the higher position of the sun, picture view talks. The sun rising to the higher position is defended on more than one account. Firstly, the sun puts light on matters not seen in the dark. And again, the sun fires up production. When the sun is shining on a garden, and the sun light is bright and hot, the production of beans is much greater. Not only beans, but other crops as well. The sun lifts the human spirit, and then the sun sets for a well-deserved rest. And what is the picture talk? It is rest. The sun rests upon his labor. The sun has labored from dawn to sunset. And it has fed not only the mouths, but it has fed also the spirit. And it rests, takes its rest. Fed the body and the spirit, and it takes its rest. Well-deserved rest, I repeat, because all day, all the daylight time, it was laboring. This is speaking of the sun with the voice of the poet, with the voice of the philosopher, or with the voice of the singer who speaks of the sun rolling around in heaven all along. All along. Yes. Rolling around in heaven. But that sun doesn't really roll around in heaven for foolishness. It comes up and makes the arc, half the circle, going up and going down, back down to rest. But to go uphill is not easy. And to roll downhill too fast is dangerous. So the sun has a great message. It goes up and then it goes down. It seems to be rising slowly, and it seems to set fast. Once it gets close to the earth, it seems to just set fast.
That's right.
Well, that's the time you can speed up a little bit, when the fall is not too long. But it goes down slowly, and then when it gets near the earth, it quickly goes to its rest. There is great guidance that the world itself, the natural world, or the world of natural phenomena, imparts to the curious and thinking person, who's thinking not on himself, thinking not on the glory of man, but thinking on the wonders of creation. The wonders of creation. That kind of thinking produced what is called philosophers. It produced what is called seers. It even produced what is called prophets.
Right.
In scriptures, we have prophets saying that they studied God's handiwork. I'm using the exact word in scripture that they use, handiwork. It means the work that they thought that God's controls brought about. And they said that that work itself brought them to believe in God. To believe that this couldn't have happened in such a marvelous way. To speak to human souls, mind, and spirit. And make the human mind and the human life so resourceful and so productive. They said that this couldn't happen without there being an intelligence bigger than man bringing it about. That's the thinking, I repeat, of the philosophers from whom this world got science, the sciences. And that's the speaking of prophets who brought the great religions to earth for us. Now, we want to have a peaceful life. We want to have happiness.
Yeah.
We want to have comforts.
Right.
Don't rest on foolishness.
Right.
When I say rest, I mean find relief. Not just go to bed at night from a day's work or from a day's activities. I'm talking about resting your energies, resting your efforts. That the message that we get from the sunrise and the sunsetting. Yes, resting your energies, resting your efforts. So we want to rest our energy, we want to rest our efforts. We go to fun, that's okay. We go to a party. That's okay. We go to a gathering, a social gathering. All of that's okay. But don't go to something that's going to bring your good life down. If the party appeals to your indecency, that will bring your good life down. If it appeals to your ignorance, that will bring life down.
Right.
If it appeals to your wildness,
yeah.
that will bring light down. So find relief, yes, as the sun takes relief in the darkness after it worked all the time in the light, all the day long in the light. It takes relief in the darkness. It rests to rejuvenate itself. So it come back up again strong to face the long day of work again. And that's what we should do. We should rest upon our labor. A man gets more satisfaction, a woman too, but I'm speaking to a man right now, a man gets more satisfaction resting upon his labor than he gets from any other kind of rest. When he has worked and he looks at his work and he knows he has progressed his work, he knows he has made an achievement. He has made an accomplishment. He accomplished things that he had in his heart and mind to do. When he looks at it after he finished his labor, that's the best rest that he will ever get. He cannot get any rest better than that. That makes it possible for him to sleep through the night. These people who think that rest is just on play, fun, having a ball, they sometimes can't rest at night. In New York, they call New York, you know, the city that never sleeps. And you find in New York, at any time of the night, people out on the streets, especially youngsters.
That's right.
Out on the streets. Why? Because they can't rest at night. So they stay up all night and sleep in the day. They're called night people. That's what they call them, night people. They're out in the streets all night. When day comes, they go home to rest, to sleep. This is a reversal of their original nature. Every living thing, except maybe a few widows among the jungle creatures, they're widows in our life. They become widows, weird widows, okay? In our life. It's okay if he's out there in the jungle as a snake, or out there in the jungle as a bat that's blind in the daytime, or as a cat hunting, or lion hunting, or night creature. They're okay out there. But if you become that kind of creature and don't know how to place that scene, you become very weird. Yes. But if you see the darkness in the jungle as the confusion of life that permits no light of understanding, then you can become a night hunter, hunting through the confusion of the world to make it through the night, to see another day. Yes. This world is too big for man. This world is too big for man. And the best work that man has done is the work that he has done reading creation, reading natural phenomena, and then extracting from natural phenomena the knowledge, the message, the science for building his world. So never think that man has stepped ahead of matter. He never steps ahead of matter. Matter is always ahead of man. And he will stop moving forward if he turns himself off from matter. Science continues to grow because man continues to go to matter to get science. Yes. And everything else that we have of benefit in our life, we owe it to the earth and to the heavens that imparts also picture instructions to the man, to the mind of human beings. So we are the product of our mother. And our mother is firstly Mother Earth. Then we are the product also of the heavens.
Yes.
And the heavens taken together, or seen together, with the earth, represents all matter. And what is all matter? Mother, again. Big Mama. Yes? All matter is Big Mama. So man has to expand his interest and expand his vision to include all matter in his interests. And then he can take help from the skies. Huh? And the scripture says, not one, but both. The scripture says, you are supplied, your needs are supplied from heaven and from earth. Your needs, speaking of all people, not one people, speaking of all people. Scripture says, I'm speaking of scripture in the total picture of scripture. For after all, our scripture, the last book for Muslims called Quran, is a continuation of scripture that was before the Quran.
Right.
So scripture is one continuous movement, one continuous progression to bring home the promise.
Right.
So that everybody can have it in its completion.
Right.
Yes, matter. Mother Earth, but then matter itself, all matter. And if we can look at the picture of natural phenomena, are all matter, and see for yourself with your own thinking, with your own mind, see its beauty, see its conversation,
yes.
See its language that is important through its pictures. The picture of sun.
Yes.
The picture of sunlight.
Yes, sir.
Where it going? The sun sends its light. And it sends its light to its job.
Yes.
The job of energizing dead things and bringing dead things to life.
Right.
With the help of water and air, we know. Yes. So you know what? If you really study the physical sky, the lower sky clouds, the lower of clouds, the higher heavens of stars, you study all that, you get a great message. The clouds form.
Right.
And many times they form promising good health to a dry garden or dry farmland.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes,
promising good health. And that makes the farmer so happy when he sees the rain clouds gathering. Now, when they gather now, the sun is not going to be out. The sun is not going to be out. The clouds are forming. And he's so happy. The lower heavens is promising relief to his dry land. Huh?
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes the same picture promises bad times. Storms, loss of life, etc. But if you read the whole, if you read not just Mother Earth, but you read Mother Matter, you know in bad times that what I'm seeing is not really an absence of the sun. The sun is still where it always it was intended to be.
Right.
It's there, but this disturbance is blocking my view. The sun is still on time, rising and setting, shining and producing energy for life and production, even while this trouble is hanging overhead. Yes. So if you read it that way, you have the patience to survive the time of trouble, to see another time of great hope. See, this is what we need to give to our children, to our young generation, so that the world doesn't crush them. The world doesn't kill hope in them. They live and they have confidence, even when the White House is upset, even when the government is clouding up the view. The clouds are forming from the White House and clouding up our view. And we're saying, oh, this is a bad time. Yes, it is. But with the right view on matter, Mother Earth and Mother Matter, with the right view on that, you can endure. You can even be happy when everything else is sad. You can be happy. Because you know it's just a matter of time when the clouds are going to disappear. The trouble is going to go away. And it's going to be a bright, sunny day of hope and production again. So don't underestimate the handiworks of the Creator. He writes a script bigger than anybody's holy book. And if you can read it, you will have life eternity. Life eternal. Yes, you don't have to die in one generation. Pass that hope to your children, and they will, and your life will continue in them. Not just your biological life, but your spiritual life will continue in your children. Your rational life will continue in your children. Your vision for the future will be continued in your children. And that's how communities under God thrive and survive all the troubles that man can produce. And their generation keeps the covenant. They keep the covenant. They keep the contract with God, the Maker. And they outlive the devil even. Yes, they outlive the devil. The devil has to set. He has to go down. Get out of the picture. Live to put the devil to rest. I'm telling you. Yes, so we should look at what man is doing when we are miserable and question him. He's not God. And his works is not the bigger work. His work is the smaller work. The bigger work is the mother matter, the universe. And some of us, we talk about getting our crown of stars. Yes. Get my crown of stars. And we don't know what we're talking about. Crown of stars don't mean something physical, some trinket that you're going to wear on your head physically as a cap or a hat or something. Crown of stars means that the great wisdom on high that reveals to man by picture language how he should order his own world down here.
Yes, sir.
Don't try to have one light. The higher knowledge is the knowledge of the higher sky or the higher heavens. The sun is one light. Don't try to have one light, but have many lights. See the bigger picture. See how many big sons, like our son, are distance away, and we can't see them except at night with the help of telescopes sometimes. But we can see them visibly with our eyes. We can't understand them all the time. And they are big stars with their families. And they are moving in the heavens or in matter space, just like our sun. So matter space accommodates many great leaders with their following. So don't be selfish. Want to have one leader, and that's you. You want to be the only leader? No. To have the bigger picture and the bigger world and the bigger rewards, we have to welcome every qualified son, every qualified leader. Come on and let us work together. Let us be one matter system and let us serve life. Here and hereafter. That's the way we should be. I don't know what you call God, but whatever made Mother Matter, made Mother Matter to mother all of us, to nourish the mind, spirit, and soul of all of us, and grow us up, and prepare us to be grown up in her system, working with the best of the people, and respecting the rights of every qualified person to have their own environment, to have their own place, to have their own freedom of movement, to move their own following. As long as we conform to the overriding system created by the one bigger than it all. Allahu Akbar. You said it, brother. You said it. God is bigger. Yes, God is bigger. Yes. Now, you know, we're looking at these little small jobs we got down here to do. And we're just bumping heads and stumbling over each other and setting each other back, sometimes accidentally, sometimes on purpose. Yes. And we think we got something going. These things, not even big as ants. Yeah, but that kind of work is a smaller work than the work of ants. And they're small. Sometimes you can't even see them. But my eye is dimming a little bit, you know. I have to look close to see an ant crawling on the sidewalk now, especially if it's a small one. And I remember I used to see them from a distance before I even got to them. See a little small ant crawling? Yes. But those little ants, they got a bigger world than petty people backbiting, backstabbing, scheming to get over, ahead and over somebody else. That's that is too ridiculous to tolerate. We shouldn't tolerate that from each other. We are supposed to be each other's friend. We are supposed to be each other's brother and sister. When we see someone behaving like a night creature crawling on the earth, we should tell them, lift yourself up, brother. Lift yourself up, sister. That mind you got has reduced you to a little night creature crawling around on the earth. Yes. And this is another thing that we should observe, that how the picture language of Mother Matter reaches us. Have you noticed that most things that live under the ground, they are not so attractive? When you look at them, they look dull. They don't have bright looking life. They look dull. Now also on the desert. And there's some people who wants to be great leaders, but they don't want us to have the garden. They want to keep life a desert. They don't produce any beauty on the land. They are not interested in beautifying the ground, beautifying the land. They're like a desert. Few flowers scattered about. You have to go for miles and miles just to find a beautiful flower. And when you find it, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful. And I'm telling you, if you can survive on this desert that they create for us, you're beautiful. You are really beautiful. But you don't find it in abundance. You don't find the big tree of flowers. You don't find the big bush of flowers. It's a little dainty thing, very small. But God has favored it to survive. The greed, the selfishness of persons who just rather see nothing than to have people share in it. Huh? So we have people right among us who are working hard to keep our environment a desert. Now, how do you expect for them to look when you find them? How are they going to look to a believer? They're going to look like a creeper, a critter, living under a rock, and coming out because they're ashamed of how bad they look. They come out, sneak out. And when they get out, they run real fast to hurry up and get back up under the rock because they're ashamed of this old dull look that they got, this old fleshless look that they got, this old beauty void look that they got. So they're coming out, they were ashamed of the way they look. They just run out of the rock, and when they think it's clear, they run out from under the rock, run and grab something, and run right back up under the rock. Not only animal creatures or insects, but also the plants that grow up. This thing grew up in the desert, and it looks unattractive. You don't want to embrace it. You don't want to take it in your hands and hug it. You don't want to put it in your hair, sister, stick it in your hair like you do those nice little flowers. You don't want to stick it in there. It might prick your skin and bring blood. Thorns and thistles. Huh? That's that barren land. Producing thorns and thistles. This is what? Mother matter speaking. Mother matter talking. It ain't just out there to exist. God made the world to speak to the mind and open the mind for bigger pictures and equip the mind for better futures. Yes. So believe me, it's time to wake up, come out of your confusion, stop glorifying man, and look at Mother Earth, and look at the bigger mother, Big Mama, Mother Matter. And I'm going to bring this broadcast, this first Sunday broadcast, to a conclusion. Wishing you all God's blessings, wishing you all freedom. But the freedom to go where Mother Matter invites us to go. Not the freedom to go to that brings life down, makes life indecent, weak, and inferior, and keep the communities stale, static, non-productive. We thank God for this day, and thank God for this freedom to reach you by way of broadcast and radio. And we appreciate all of you who have made efforts to open more opportunities for us to speak on more stations and reach more people in these great United States. We thank you very much. May God give you rewards forever for your good work. And may you work together as brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And be in the big picture.
Yes.
And don't let yourself, your own work, reduce you to a little small, unattractive thing. And lastly, we know that it costs money. We appreciate your efforts you are making to raise funds to finance the Sunday broadcast, the first Sunday of the month broadcast. We appreciate all of you. And the Mosque Cares is always here. We will also dispense some funds when needed or when the business people can't provide for this need. We are prepared also to make funds available because this is a very important. It's very important that life work together.
Yes.
And that people who have life in them be told that there are efforts made not by one individual, but efforts made by organizations that are community organizations.
Right.
Efforts being made to help brighten life up and lift life up for progress on this earth.
Right.
So we want you to know that you have many friends and brothers and sisters working for the whole. Never feel that you are alone. Never feel that something is not being done about bad conditions in the world.
Yes.
And lastly, I know I have come to believe in angels.
Yes.
And I know even while we are working and thinking we have no help among human beings, angels are always aware. And they are working with us. So don't give up. Keep your faith and don't let the nasty and inhuman world kill your spirit. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar.
Now, I'm going to take a few minutes break, and I'm going to ask if there are any announcements or anything that has to be brought to our attention to please do it now. Yes, Sister Amatullah, come forward. I'm going to take a little break here, and then we're going to talk about salvation, and we're going to talk about the Savior. Because I've for some reason, God didn't intend for me to be in Detroit. But we're here today. No Imam W. Dean Muhammad. And it's on Sunday, so traffic is very heavy on the weekend, Saturdays and Sundays. So they tell me to go to Third and Gate, and I could get a flight to Detroit, but they couldn't guarantee it because I would have to go standby. So I went there and I waited for that plane. It came in. As soon as it got in, they didn't call anybody. In fact, they said the plane is full. Plane is full. So I couldn't go on that plane. I stayed there like 3:30 at the airport trying to get something, and I was unable to get it. And I said, well, Muslim pulled the dyest camel. And under the circumstances, I tried to tie my camel, but still, nothing happened. I wasn't able to go to Detroit. So I believe that some of you are here today that was there in Detroit, and I thank you for understanding, and thank you for your great spirit. Thank you for your presence here today. And inshallah, I will go over the important matters that I had for that occasion. Now, you know, I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar was giving us. I was a baby at that time, but he was giving it to all of us. I'm going to give you what Mr. Farrar, the teacher of my father, who actually taught my mother how to cook the Nation of Islam food, what came to be the Nation of Islam food. He actually worked in the kitchen with my mother, showing my mother how to make those dishes, brown the rice and everything. And he also did it. My aunt has passed away too, but he also taught my aunt. She was one of his secretaries. I'm talking about the one who taught my father, not my father. She was one of his secretaries, and he taught her how to cook too, in her kitchen, taught her how to cook. my aunt Bernstein, who passed away a few years ago in Detroit, Michigan. Yes, so this man that I'm talking about, he spoke in language that he called mathematical theology. This is written in the lessons by him. This is not, this can be proven. So I know there's a lot of Dalton Thomases in here, and a lot of those who want to keep to their old way of thinking. But if you're here, then understand this, that I love you just the way you are. You don't have to change a bit. I love you just the way you are. Because I know even though you hold those old original ideas, you are good people, you have good hearts, you mean well, you live good lives, and I love you. I love you very much. But I wish you would accept freedom. Freedom is here now. Yeah. And he promised freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he promised. Freedom, justice, and equality. That's what he said Islam was. And it used to be written on the blackboard. Painted on the blackboard. So you couldn't erase it all. And it had the American flag on one side and the Nation of Islam flag on the other side. And between the two flags, it had the bad treatment that we were getting back there. A black man hanging from a noose, from a rope, on a tree, from a tree limb. And the letters on the national flag, the Nation of Islam flag, were FJE. And on the staff of the flag was I. And the letter I stood for Islam. And that was to say to us that in Islam, you are promised freedom, justice, and equality. And I remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad in the earlier days when I was a preteen and a teenager and even a little after that. Whenever you walked into the temple door, you opened the temple door, the first thing you would see, if the speaker wasn't speaking, would be that blackboard with that picture on it, saying what I just gave to you. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad would hardly ever miss saying on Sundays when he gave his speeches, his talk, his message, he wouldn't hardly ever miss saying that Islam is freedom, justice, and equality. That went into me as a boy and as a teenager. It went into me. And I was shown pictures of our people, actual lynchings that were still, my father saved the old papers. He saved the old papers that showed actual lynchings of our people were hanging from a tree. One picture I remember seeing looked like to me it was at least five, it might have been as many as seven or eight black men hanging from trees where they lynched them in a group. They lynched a number of them, not one person, and they were hanging in a group. I remember him giving me a picture. I don't like to tell you about it. I don't like to look at it. I don't like to think about it. But I have to.